Jeopardy Tournament of Losers will not be heard at this time because haven't we had enough of these tournaments? In its place, we present the following.
I want to hear from Doug Morris later on about that.
Yeah, Gordon, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I am doing okay. The Marlins beat the Yankees today, 5-2, yes. Which means
how?
That anything can happen. Anytime, anywhere, any place.
True.
Why am I saying this? Because we got a bunch of unexpected things. In addition to Jeopardy, which of course was very unexpected, we got an unexpected RuPaul going from 4-3, an unexpected, sort of unexpected thing going on in Survivor, definitely something unexpected on Deal or No Deal Island. And mm-hmm. We're going to unexpectedly put heads on sticks.
Which is again?
Oh, man. Okay, do I have to do the female roles again?
Oh, Jay, you know you have to do the female roles.
Oh, God, I'm not feeling well, dude. All right, fine, I'll suck it up.
Yeah, pull through like a trooper, man. I know you have it in you.
I do. So, let's do it.
All right, that's Gordon Pepper. I'm Chico Alexander, and from somewhere in America, the world's strongest game show podcast, WLTI, is on. Let's go!
Whee!
Welcome to episode number 440 here at 5-1 Studios. This is the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast. This is WTI. We love to interrupt. My name is Jason Block. A little under the weather this week, but of course I have my two friends to make me feel so much better. That would be my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
I will tell you the same thing that Gordon told me because I too was under the weather this week. Chicken soup and Gatorade.
Mm. Yeah.
Lots of fluids for me. But we need Johnny Gilbert. Hit it.
We do need Johnny Gilbert, and here he is.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy.
As we begin the third semifinal game of the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, courtesy of J-Archive. We have Victoria Gross, friend of the site, friend of ours, Sam Buttry, and Matt Jackson. At the end of Jeopardy round, it's pretty even. Victoria's at 6, Matt's at 4,800, Sam's at 3,800. But Victoria crushes in the second round, Double Jeopardy, and has 27,000 to Sam's 16,000, Matt's 10,400. No one is out of it as we get into state capitals. The clue. It was named for a nearby river that explorer Gabriel Moraga named for one of a religious group of seven. Oh, me! I knew this one.
I guessed instantaneously, and so did my sister Gisela, and we were both wrong.
The correct answer is what is
Santa Fe, but it was actually what is Sacramento.
Correct for the sacraments, you see, as it's Sam, and he said, it's the seven sacraments named after the Holy Eucharist. Victoria wins by $1 if Sam would have doubled. And she goes into the finals of the JIT, the JIT.
So Victoria goes up against Andrew He and Amy Schneider with game one on a Friday. Remember, it is the first player to two games that wins $100,000 and a punched ticket to the Jeopardy Masters season
more
two.
On that later, by the way.
Yeah, thanks for interrupting me, Jay.
Sorry. <That's laughs> Go ahead.
Okay. This is the name of the show, by the way. At the end of the Jeopardy round, Victoria is out in front with 10-6. Andrew has 2,600. Amy has 6,200, still all of it to play for. And at the end of the Double Jeopardy round, this was basically Victoria's round, save for the final. It's $29,600 for her, $15,000 for Amy. Andrew has $9,600. For those of you who are complaining that she won on a fluke, I give you this game and tell you to take a seat. Anyway, the final Jeopardy category is U.S. government and your clue. The formation of the Brownell Committee out of concern over U.S. communications and intelligence led to the 1952 creation of this body. Ask me a hard one.
I did not know this one. I went with the FCC, but I know the FCC was earlier.
Yes, it was. Gordon?
Well, you know, the Brownell, so I was just figuring that it would be the Farmers Association because there is things that are brown called cow patties.
That is true. However, let's just put it to you this way. Andrew wrote down, what have I gotten myself into? Whoops.
It's a perfectly valid question, one. And
right.
Two, it's wrong.
Right. Amy said, what is the NSA? Who are probably listening to us right now, oh, great and mighty NSA. She goes to 30,000. Victoria said, what is the CIA? She's wrong. She would have won by a dollar. Correct bet, by the way. And she, Amy, has 1 point. We go into Monday's game, where at the end of the Jeopardy round, Amy is up 8,800, Victoria 6,800, Andrew 3,000. Victoria and Amy have a battle to end all battles in the second round. She's up 37,600. To 26,000, Amy and Andrew, 8,600, to this clue in mythology. A peasant who became the king of Phrygia created the intricate problem that was solved, this intricate problem that was solved in 333 BC. Ask me a hard one.
My summer at governor's school has finally paid off.
Yes,
what is the Gordian knot?
No, actually, Gordon, it's the Gordon knot, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. What the hell, Chico?
Yeah, it's the Gordon knot, not the Gordian knot.
No, the Gordon knot has something to do with Tic Tac Deal. I don't know.
No, anyway, everybody gets it right. Andrew bets 8,000. Amy bets the correct bet, 11,601. Victoria goes to the correct bet as well, which is 14,401. It's Victoria 1, Amy 1, Andrew 0, as we go into Tuesday's game.
Yes, in Tuesday's game, at the end of the Jeopardy round, Victoria is still in the lead with 5,800. Amy has 4,200. Andrew has 3,200. And at the end of the Double Jeopardy round, holy cow, it is, we have a whole different game since the last two, with losing.
Well, yes, because, it was the ninth clue, and this was the opera settings, and she goes 6,200 on this. Verdi's Falstaff is set in this town during the reign of Henry IV. She says Southwick, and it was from the Merry Wives of Windsor. She's out.
Yeah.
But Victoria gets this. Go ahead.
Victoria gets the 16th, which is the 1600 clue in The Measure of a Man. You only need letters on the left side of the keyboard to type this unit of capacitance that's named for an English chap. And I'm cheating and looking at the keyboard, although I know what it is. She said, what is Henry? But it was the Farad, which comes from Michael Faraday.
Correct. And what happened was is that the scores were a little low going in.
Yeah,
Victoria has 11-4. Andrew has 10. Amy has 7-2. What's the final, Chico?
The final Jeopardy category is bodies of water. And your clue is the smallest inland sea in the world. It's completely within the territory of a single country and connects two other larger
Well, I did. I had no clue, but everybody else did.
Yes, it was the.
Hold on, Gordon.
Gordon,
what do you think?
I thought this was easy because it was so small. You can't see me. What is the John Cena?
You know what? Related to WrestleMania 40, I'll take it. That's a good one.
Okay, all right. You get spared the lily. All right. Thanks, Ian. Anyway, but the little tiny sea in between the Mediterranean and the Black Sea in Turkey, but the correct response, which everybody had, was, what is the Sea of Marmara? And of course, Amy misspelled it, but the pronunciation did not change because it was a vowel. So she gets credit for that. Andrew gets credit for his, with the right bet, I should say, 144.01. Victoria went for 86.01, got the correct response, got the second point, got the win, got the 100,000, and the ticket to Jeopardy Masters. And now she's going to get this.
So, the Jeopardy Masters are, as we know, what is it? Mattea Roach, James Holzhauer, Matt Amodio, Yogesh Raut, Victoria Grosch, and, well, you will know when we're going to find that out. We are going to find that out this coming Friday at the first Jeopardy Inside Jeopardy Live podcast in New York City.
Yes, and that is at Hudson Yards in New York City. It's a final wild card contestant chosen by Jeopardy producers. And I checked, it is not Jason, and it is not me.
No, but I have heard rumors. Well, all right, let me rephrase that. Gordon, who would you put in there as the sixth?
Me!
Except,
unlike both of you, I know the Jeopardy casting director, so you will never see me on Jeopardy.
Right, okay.
Wah, 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 wah.
No, but seriously, who would you put as a sixth?
Watson!
That would be fun!
That would be so awesome, and the thing of it is, he's had 15 years to practice.
Yes, exactly, but...
Watson's
but I think they may want a human contestant. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Now, if I'm going to pick someone not in the tournament...
Right.
Is that the parameters on this one?
We don't know what the parameters are.
What? Well, you don't?
Okay. But what I'm saying is you're asking me to pick a sixth person.
Yes.
So... Well, let's see. It can't be Buzzy Cohen because he's hosted, and there's already the rule of if you're behind the podium, you don't get to play.
Right. So Ken can't play.
So, no, yeah, exactly. So I'm sure some people are going to say, but Ken Jennings, no. Brad Rutter?
That would be my guess.
That'd be a good idea.
That would be my guess. He's
I don't know if he's been behind the podium or not. I don't think
he has. No, he's never hosted.
Okay, I'll go with Brad Rutter then.
Okay. I'd like to see that because remember, up until Ken Jennings, he was the winningest player.
Correct.
And he went undefeated until a while ago. And
Ken Jennings beat him.
Yep.
So, yeah, in the GOAT tournament.
The first loss was at the GOAT. So.
Yeah. So I would put him in. That would be my number one choice. I would love to see that. But we will have more news on Jeopardy Masters in Brain Vision, correct?
Correct.
Well, someone that we will not be seeing on Jeopardy. Actually, there'll be three people that we will not be seeing on Jeopardy because they've all been island hopping.
Yes.
And I'm talking about Survivor and Deal or No Deal Island. But wait, you're saying, Gordon, you're talking about two shows. How could three people be leaving? Aha! There is a double elimination on Survivor. Yes. Here to talk us through it is Chico and Jay.
So, at the island, Charlie admitted to voting for Venus, and Q was like, what? Okay. And then, of course, Kenzie comforted Ben during a panic attack. And I've had them. They're not fun.
I've also had them. I didn't even know what I was doing at the moment. I didn't even know.
Put it to you this way. Even Rhea Ripley admitted this week that she had one before her match at WrestleMania this weekend. So anybody can have them. They're not fun. Okay. So what happened was Jeff said, we're going to do two things. We're going to split into teams of two, and two people are going to win. Two people are going to be eliminated. Right.
And then two people are going to be voted out in two separate tribal councils.
Right. The old double tribal council bit. And by the way, the the overall winner is getting a food reward for their team, which is going to be coffee, tea, pastries, cake, I believe, yes?
And the advantage of attending tribal council second, which is important because the person voted out at the first tribal council will not be in the jury. Only the person voted out in the second tribal council will make jury.
Right.
And by the way, just to point this out, as a reminder, not only do you get more screen time, you'll get more money if you make the jury. So, and the difference is significant enough so that, you really don't want to be the last person not in the jury.
Correct.
Right. So the groups are, in purple, we have Soda, Liz, Maria, Charlie, Venus, and Tevin. And in orange, we have Tiffany, Kenzie, Q, Hunter, Tim, and Ben. Jay, what is their challenge?
This is one of the Survivor Classics. Balance. The teams must balance on triangular structures floating in the water, moving up in increments. And if you can't make the transition, bye-bye, y'all. You're gone. Bye, Felicia. Okay? And unfortunately, it was not as windy at the start of the challenge, but then a wind gust came out and knocked over almost everybody. Okay? So the winners of the Kenzie and Maria won immunity, but Maria, Charlie, Liz, Soda, and Tevin, and Venus are going to get the food reward. Okay?
So the orange group is going to be the first person at tribal council. The orange group is going to be the first group at tribal council. One of them is going to be voted out, will not make jury, will not have any additional time, and will not decide who wins the $1 million.
Correct. Kenzie and Tiffany were not liking Q. However, Yano 3 and Hunter voted out Tim. I'm not so sure about that one, thank you. That was not a smart vote,
No. I completely agree with that one. But I agree more with the one that's going in second. Keep in mind now, you're now in the individual phase of Survivor, which means you need to get rid of strength, and you need to get rid of somebody that is a threat to get to the end. Tim is clearly a threat to get to the end. However, there's two different types of strengths, one of which is physical, the other one is social. And now with that being said, Chico, second group.
All right, the second group, and again, this group is coming into tribal council with no idea of what happened at the first group. Charlie acts like they have no idea. They have no idea what happened.
Okay.
Charlie acts like he was the only person vulnerable as a Sega player without immunity. On the other hand, he teased his shot in the dark as his best option, but decided not to use it. Mistake? No, because the votes read Soda, Venus, Venus, Soda, Soda, Soda. So by a vote of 4-2, Soda gets popped.
Or you could say more, or more fell flat. So you're saying this was also a correct vote?
It is. Soda's got alliances on all sides, and she's not afraid to use them. And she could be a major thorn should she get to the end, so you need to get rid of her now.
Okay.
And Soda tried to call out Venus like, it was you, wasn't it? And Venus was like, yes. And Tevin was like, no.
Okay, but by the way, Gordon, who's in trouble now in Survivor now with this? With this vote the way it went?
The great thing about the season is we don't know, because we don't know how exactly the groups are going to be shaped up. You know, obviously, if I'm Venus, I've got my share of enemies, but I seem to be in the correct side, at least as of now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, but I know who is not on the right side on Deal or No Deal Island.
Yeah.
As for once, it's not Rob Mariano.
Correct. And I'm going to go over what happened at the start of the show, because it has a whole lot to deal with how the show ends.
Okay.
So we have, because it is a reality show based on an island, a four-person alliance of Amy, Stephanie, Nick, and Dawson called the Night Owls. Stephanie is setting off alarm bells because she wants Alyssa gone. Speaking of Alyssa, Alyssa tells Rob if she had a voodoo doll of Stephanie, she would stab it. She's saying that her allegiance to him, that's Alyssa's allegiance to Rob, has not changed. Aaron's might have. Rob goes to Aaron about this. He passes his test with flying color. You don't mess with Rob Mariano. You don't lie to Rob Mariano. You just don't. He knows when you're lying.
So basically in this episode, you have the four-person alliance of the Night Owls who are trying to target Boston Rob, except for the fact that Stephanie doesn't want to target Boston Rob first. She wants to target Alyssa, who those two have been getting along just as well as oil and peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Exactly. Now, going to the challenge, you have, I believe, four teams of two, if I remember this correctly. Chico, talk to us about the challenge.
All right. The challenge is four teams of two are going paddleboarding to find chests filled with two cases. Each duo can only discard one chest. Some chests have a key in it, and it could be used to open a safe with a big reward, but it also comes with a big risk. The reward, a $5 million case to be played in that night's edition of Deal or No Deal. However, if a pair opened that safe, they would be up for elimination.
Yeah, to be more specific, you're automatically in the bottom two. And then if you happen to have the highest case, which you would if you have the $5 million, then whoever has the second highest case makes the decision on who goes into the bottom. That team is Boston Rob.
Yeah. Oh, and normally the person who has the highest case would make the decision as to who gets nominated to play Deal or No Deal. But Stephanie and Amy find the key and use it. So
Boston Rob has a really, really easy decision to make here. Of course, he's going to send Stephanie to play Deal or No Deal because, number one, he knows that he's not the target. Number two, he knows he can't be the target because he's immune. And number three, should Stephanie win, she gets rid of Alyssa. The blood is off of his hands in order to do it. And more importantly, Rob wants her gone anyway. Either person, if they're gone, helps Rob's game. So, easy decision. Stephanie gets to play with the banker. And Chico, let's set up the game.
All right. So, on the board for the big, on the board with the big end, 750,000, 600,000, 700,000, 900,000, 500,000, 1.75, 1.5, 2.5, and the 5 million. And of course, because the banker's not running a charity, you got all the low numbers as well. Round one, really the only round that is played, Stephanie knocks out 1.75 million, 300, 100, 2.5 million, 750K, 500, 500,000. And the first offer, and really the only offer she gets, $251,000.
Now, again, to remind everybody, what before you make the decision, because again, we're going to play along, how many cases are higher, how many cases are lower?
Well, right now, one, two, three cases are higher.
And how many cases are lower?
Yeah, five.
So she has a better chance to stick. So it's three cases are bad, five cases are good. This is a 62.5% chance of being safe. You take it, and you take the deal, and in this case, she does. Does it work out? And more importantly, everyone knows who exactly is bleeping should she make a good deal. Inside the case, a penny. She makes a good deal, Alyssa goes bye-bye, and she's basically singing the failures of Alyssa as she walks away. I'm not going to go through the singing because no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But Alyssa, go bye-bye.
Yep.
And then now we are down to seven people.
Not necessarily, because now we have the other part of the episode, which is Aaron has decided he has had enough. Speaking of panic attacks, he gets one. He says, I can't take this anymore. He takes off the microphone and he walks off stage left.
Ooh.
So does that mean he's gone? To be continued. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Let's do a little racing.
Oh, that's right. We need to go to Columbia. We need to stay in Columbia. Excuse me. As the teams paraglided into Medellin, Colombia. Then they departed from La Meseta, of course, in the 15-minute groups based on the order of the arrival, and had to travel by taxi to get their next clue at Comuna 13. Detour. Dance vibe or wall scribe? Okay. The dance vibe, they had to do a breakdance routine. In wall scribe, teams had to solve a rebus puzzle in order to receive their next clue from an artist named Chota 13. Okay.
You know exactly what we would be taking if we had this one.
Oh, we'd be no, I'm kidding. We'd be doing the rebus. Easy. Okay. Then, of course, the teams found their next clue at Botero Plaza, which is a roadblock. They had to memorize and post the names of 12 of the plaza sculptures on a map to receive their next clue, and move on foot to the pit stop, which is Parques de Rio Medellin. And for the second leg in a row, Rike and Cesar are first. They get $2,500 each. Yay. So unfortunately, as we said, Michelle and Sean did not get out of the
bottom,
get out of the backpack, the pack of the pack, and just they were done pretty much.
Yeah, and it looks like this is starting to become Ricky and Cesar's race. Although
again, this is another dominating team. They have finished second, first.
Yeah,
I mean, are we going to get another boring, I'm not going to say boring, but another domination, per se?
No, what happens when there's another equalizer? Because, you know, there's like an equalizing point coming somewhere. What's going to happen?
I don't know.
We shall see, but I'll guarantee you there will be equalizers, you know. And again, I don't know why they switched this over for the May sweeps if this was going to be a boring season. I think something's going to be different here.
I hope so.
I'm not ready to give this one up.
I'm not ready to give it up. I'm just saying because we had a dominant performance last season, we may be two in a row. We'll see.
I am willing to give up on cue, though, as we go into the workroom, because, wait a second, there should be a final four finale, and there's a final three?
Yes! There is.
Yeah, just when you think you know the race, you don't. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, let's talk about the mini challenge, where the queens have to give a lip sync performance to RuPaul's Kitty Girl underwater. Sophia Kristal wins that and gets a fitting prize, a trip for two to the Alamar Resort and Mantamar Beach Club in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
So the main challenge was based on the fact that RuPaul has a new book out, which is called The House of Hidden Meanings. So he said, okay, you write your memoir, make a cover photo, and make a do a podcast window, a podcast interview, excuse me. So this is the titles. Nifia Wind was called Breaking Wind, The Art of Letting Go. Plain Jane is Plane Crash, How I Walked Away from Disaster. Q's Alphabet Soup, Air Savor Every Bite. And Sophia Kristal's Slew Foot, Embracing All of Me. Okay.
By the way, the guest judge in that challenge, Ronan Farrow.
Well, excuse me. Ronan Farrow is the reason why Harvey Weinstein is in jail. So, the runway category was Fandango. So, Nymphia Wind won the challenge. Plain Jane and Q were the negative two. And they sang Better Be Good to Me. And Plain Jane wins. Q is out, so we have a final three of Nymphia Wind, Plain Jane, and Sophia Kristal.
But this week,
by the way, this week I believe is the SmackDown Lollapalooza of eliminated queens, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, this week coming up will be. So I was off by a week. So therefore, the final will be next week. Now, I'm not surprised with the final three. I'm surprised that we have a final three and not a final four. Gentlemen, your opinion.
I'm a little surprised, too, because I believe these are the top four. And I do believe this is the top three. Because here's something very interesting. Because looking at it here, because I'm looking at the chart courtesy of Wikipedia here. Q was the only person of the top four in the bottom twice. Okay. The only person not to use their immunity potion was Plain Jane. So, I mean, is this your top three?
I think so.
That's a little tough for me. Because, I mean, honestly, the two that I like, which are Sophia Kristal and Plain Jane, are the legit top two. I don't know if I would put Nymphia Wind there. I don't know.
I have to agree with Jason on this. I mean, you see the top four, you think they're going to the finale, but no, we have another challenge. And Q of the top four is definitely the odd queen out at this point. And the top three, Nymphia Wind, Plain Jane, Sophia Kristal, definitely deserve to be there. What surprises me is that I am not surprised, because this is the sort of thing that likes to change from season to season, I think. Like, are we having a top three? Are we having a top four? Are we having a top five? Is everybody just going to stay here until there's a winner? No. This just happens to be one of those years where there's a top three instead of a top four. Or maybe there
Gordon,
is top four because we still have the lip sync of Perusa next week.
Well, I think the winner doesn't get back in the competition, but I do think the winner gets $50,000.
It's $50,000. Like they did in last year's All Stars, I think.
She already done her hearses in All Star 7, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, but now, do we do who wins if next week, or do we do it this week? We'll do that next week.
We have to do it next week because we need content for next week.
Then we'll do it for next week. But let's go back to Wisconsin and do some cheesy cheesy dishes. The quick fire challenge, they had mini doors and they had a random ingredient. Rashika won the last elimination challenge, chose her door first. Then they had 30 minutes to create dishes, pairing their mystery ingredient with Door County cherries, which is a cherry in the state of Wisconsin, of course. They received $5,000, and the guest judges were Clea DuVall and Carla Hall. Okay.
And the winner of that fire
was Rasika again. Wow, two in a row. Tart cherry cipollini onions, charred pepper relish, and berberry spice. What happened on the elimination challenge?
In the elimination challenge, the chefs are randomly assigned one of 13 different cheeses and then asked to make dishes featuring their designated cheeses for a Top Chef cheese festival held at the Cupola Barn in Accomawak. The dishes were going to be served to the judging panel and 100 festival guests. It's up to the votes of the guests to determine who is the top winner and who is going, well, who's going bye-bye. The winner is Michelle with her coconut curry collard green sog with Pleasant Ridge Reserved potato fritter. And eliminated this week is Kenny with his crab rangoon salad with gorgonzola creme fraiche crema, Luxardo cherry relish, and rice paper chip.
By the way, over half of the contestants in that episode made croquettes, which was noted by Tom Colicchio as a "what the heck" moment.
Yeah,
on the show.
That's a bad creativity moment, right there.
I was just about to say, croquettes. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do a croquette. There's no challenge to it.
It's cheese in breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's also, I mean, this is a competition. Safe is a four-letter word. Basically, you have seven people that just did not want to be eliminated, which also shows you seven people who don't want to win Top Chef. I have a feeling that when you get to the finals, there may be, if you have the final three, I will almost guarantee you that none of the chefs that made the croquette will be in the final three. And I will also say, who won this challenge again, Chico?
The winner of this challenge was Michelle.
Don't be shocked if she's in the top three. For that reason, because she did not make a croquette.
Well, right. She made a fritter, but the cheese wasn't hidden in the fritter. So, yeah. Something to think about. It's like when you go to the final, this is going to be one of those moments where you think, okay, that person has a shot to win.
So in Last Chance Kitchen, our 16th secret contestant, Sue, battles Kenny in an episode called The Big Stink. Reason being, Limburger cheese. Now, have either of you had that? Because I've never had it.
I've never had it either. Gordon, have you had Limburger cheese?
I absolutely have, and it's really smelly.
But is it good?
It is good, but it's really
okay. Smelly. So, Sue, eggplant parm with ponzu pomodoro sauce and bruleed Limburger cheese beats Kenny's Vietnamese rice paper pizza with egg-based chili crisp, grilled cantaloupe, and Limburger cheese sauce. So, Sue... Sorry, Kenny becomes the second person to go from on the show to out the door in a row.
You Kenny! You bastard!
Yes, we did. But you know what we also did? We also built...
Sue did, not us.
Yeah, Sue did. But you know what we're about to do? We're about to put heads on sticks.
Yes, we are, but not before we talk about all the news that didn't even know you needed to know, including one very simple business story and one that requires a cat's cradle. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with 5-on-1, your home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
I will give you 22 different dishes made of cheese that does not require us to make a croquette.
Macaroni and cheese, hello.
How about quesadillas, baby?
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Anything scallopini.
Ooh, very good. Or fettuccine Alfredo.
Yo, a potato pavé.
Oh, very good. Potatoes au gratin, right? With cheese.
Or if you're feeling a little bit Josh Wiseman, how about a 120 layer lasagna?
Poutine,
baby, poutine.
Oh, good God, man. Okay, I'm hungry.
This is getting too cheesy. Let's.
We need snacks.
See you after the break. We're gonna go get snacks now.
And we're not even on 420.
There's a place to share gossip about the office party fun, and a place to share the story you tell everyone. There's a place to share a laugh about when things went wrong, and a place to share the video of you dancing to your song. There's a place to share spare change, lunch, and your time. But we could all be better at sharing how we're feeling inside. 76% of employees have struggled with at least one issue that affected their mental health. When you share, you're not alone.
By Deal or No Deal Igloo. Forget the island. We're sick of islands. Let's get real. Go on a friggin' igloo. If you lose, you get frozen. Deal or No Deal Igloo.
That's cold, Jay. That's cold, Jay.
That's pure cold.
Actually, I believe Jeff Probst was actually asked the question, why don't you do it in an island? In an igloo or something like that. And he says, we don't want people that cold.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other issue is that if you're doing it in Lake Alaska, nobody gets naked.
Right. Yeah.
You watch Survivor for the nudity. You know you watch the Big Brother feeds to see who gets it on in the shower first.
Right.
Let's cuddle a naked body. Why do you think we have 18 iterations of Naked and Afraid and Dating Naked and Naked This and Naked That? You want the privates.
And yeah, you mean like the
harder that we can.
You mean like the golden orbs that were shown on Mexican TV? Those ones?
Yes, those. And I'm not talking golden balls. I'm talking different sorts of orbs.
Yes, on that note, Gordon, please get us out of here and save us.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Rock104RockTracks, at Doug Morris Games, and at Tracks Productions. And don't forget, I believe it's on demand on the Odyssey app and the Rock 104 WXRR app. Last week, they had the 28th anniversary Rock Tracks with Doug Morris, featuring our good friend Adam Neative, plugging his book, Gong This Book. We've read it. We love it. We encourage that you get it. And, of course, if you want to listen to this week's episode, it is going to be all over the known
multiverse
on both apps and rock104fm.com. And of course, if you're listening to us in the Pine Belt, it is WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial. Okay, I have a very little bat and a very big bat. And then I have a ball with a Jeopardy Masters logo on it.
Yes, exactly. So, yep.
Okay, we're going to start with the Jeopardy ball because we did allude to this earlier. We have the Jeopardy Masters playing field. It begins play May 1st.
Right, on ABC.
Right.
I don't know if it's taped. I don't think it's taped yet, or it will soon.
No, it hasn't. It's going to be it's going to be a heck of a turnaround time, let me tell you.
Well, no, they did the turnaround time for the Brian had stated that it was a 2-week turnaround. They can do it.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. And it's May 1st. This is all on ABC. And this will all be at 8:00 Eastern Time. It starts May 1st and goes through May 22nd. Usually Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and through the month of May, through May sweeps, and it's going to be epic. So that's going to be great. That's awesome. Can't wait for it. It's for the people who love tournaments and regular Jeopardy. Who know? Anyway.
Let's talk about the small bet, because this is a very simple story, because we're keeping it simple this week. But it was a long time coming. LeVar Burton, according to TMZ, has signed on to be the host and executive producer of Trivial Pursuit for the CW.
It is a long time coming. It is a good choice for him to be the host. I'm sure some of the, let's just say, trolls will say, well, you know, you didn't get Jeopardy. It doesn't matter. Trivial Pursuit is a good show. If they have the good writers and they have the good producers, this will be a success, especially on the CW. So please watch. Keep good trivia shows on the air. Watch it.
Yes.
Exactly. And they're also casting for the other CW show, Scrabble, as well.
Doo-doo.
And I also know they're also casting for The Flip Side.
Yep, that's going to be on syndication and Game Show Network this fall. Of course, if you get it in syndication, you're going to get the episodes 1 week before everybody on Game Show Network does. And now, something that I need a roadmap to try and navigate here. That is the impending acquisition of Paramount to somebody.
I actually have the most...
Put in the multiverse tag here, because this is can go in any different direction.
Right.
Multiverse.
Okay.
Right. And this is from... Yes, okay. So this is from the Los Angeles Times, and Samantha Masunaga and Meg James are the credited authors, so we have a credit. So the shares of Paramount Global, which are now down to $10.50, they fell 4.3%, and they had fell as much as 7%. As several of the company's directors are stepping down as merger talks continue between Paramount Global and the tech giant David Ellison. Now, David Ellison, I believe, I know he did something huge. David Ellison.
He's the head of Skydance.
Right, but he also did a bunch of other stuff. Okay. He's also the son of Larry Ellison, who co-founded Oracle. That's where I know the name from. Okay. So he's the son of Oracle founder, Mr. Ellison. Okay. Larry Ellison. Okay. So they want to combine. The thing is that Shari Redstone wants to combine Ellison's production company with Skydance with Paramount. So it would be called Paramount Skydance, Skydance Paramount, whatever. Okay. Paradance. Okay. Because the investors are worried, though, that it would confer benefits to Shari Redstone at the expense of regular investors. Now, one shareholder, Blackwood Capital Management, sent a letter to the Paramount Board of Directors saying they vehemently object to this deal. Justin Evans wrote, quote, Under the terms reported by the media, you'll be cashing out one shareholder at a huge premium and leaving the rest of us stuck with heavily diluted shares in a very speculative new venture. This violates the law as well as...
They're not wrong, by the way. And this does sort of smell of various violations that this agreement could have in terms of that. Now, I am not a CPA by any stretch of the imagination, but this does smell worse than the Limburger cheese croquette that you may or may not have seen on Last Chance Kitchen on Top Chef.
Correct. Again, I'm not an accountant either, so I'm just reading here. As well as your fiduciary duty to shareholders. First, the proposal includes material conflicts of interest and painfully obvious self-dealing. And here we go. If you move forward with this toxic, unfair proposal, the next letter you'll receive is a litigation hold notice from our attorneys. Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Yeah. Or normally, we want our money, and we will make sure we get it by any means necessary.
Correct. So
there's a lot of mileage left on this story.
Oh, yes.
There is a lot of mileage. And there is an extra sort of a twist to it, because there is also a $26 billion offer, which is more than what Skydance is offering from Apollo Management, and that's to acquire Paramount Global lock, stock, and barrel.
Right.
Which I don't think is going to go anywhere, by the way.
Well, Blackwood said the way. Right. So Ellis Blackwood said, "Board, do that, because the last thing the company Shalers need is another Silver Spoon movie enthusiast to run our entertainment company into the ground." Damn. Okay. Wow.
Be kind, man. Be kind.
Right. Of course. So I mean, it's going to be
The only thing kind is right now in this negotiations is a candy bar. Jay, what do we have in terms of a date book?
You sent it over. Sunday is 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing, premiere on the Food Network on Sunday. Monday is the season finale of Rock the Block. And Wednesday is the season premiere, and I hope you have the quote ready, of The Circle. With, as you said, the twist of an AI chatbot as one of the contestants, correct? I believe, is that right? But, yep. Mercedes, celebrate it for us. Thomas.
Moment gone. Next.
Okay, let's talk about Dat App, though, and this is interesting. Okay.
All right, so last week, Pat Sajak taped his final episode of Wheel of Fortune. We'll talk more about that the closer we get to it. Not 48 hours after that, we get this. The clip is courtesy of Sony Pictures.
Wow.
Looks like you're ready, Ryan.
Ryan Seacrest joins Vanna White this fall on Wheel of Fortune.
New host, same place. Only on ABC7.
Okay, Gordon, too early or right time or what?
Too early. You still have to celebrate what you have with Pat Sajak. I think it's a little bit too early. I don't think it's criminal or, oh my God, it's the worst thing ever sort of thing, but a little bit too early.
I agree that it's a little early. You should have waited until June. And, you know, it's a little like
it's like dancing on Pat Sajak's grave and he's not even dead yet.
Pretty much.
I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to say more of they're shaping the throne and putting it in Ryan Seacrest's specifications while Pat Sajak is still sitting in it, waiting for them to go, okay, time for you to get out of this chair. Go. Get out. Here's the booth.
Right.
Go
exactly.
Ahead.
Yes. Exactly. And,
okay. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Yeah. It feels just a little disrespectful. A little bit.
Disrespectful. I'm just going to say too soon.
Yeah, okay.
I would have waited for Pat Sajak to officially hand the keys to the kingdom to Ryan before putting that out. But it's out in the ether now, so nothing's gonna stop.
Well, yeah, so yeah, it's out there, and it was sort of smart. Sort of.
I don't think it's smarter, but it's much smarter than what Jay's about to present.
That's dumb.
Are you smarter than the audience at a Cat Williams show? Okay, because
yeah,
they
good
were.
Question.
Yeah, well, Cat Williams was on his tour because there was a fight that broke out in
He was at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum in Indianapolis. That was Saturday night. Partway through his set, a fight broke out in the stands. And, of course, because it's 2024, somebody caught it and put it on social media. But
yes.
Well, that's not the dumb part. The dumb part is that the fight happened. Yeah. And so while they were escorting everybody out, that kills the concert. And everybody gets to go home not nearly as happy as they probably should have or would have been if they had a full concert.
According to TMZ, the show was only off by 5 minutes, but still, dumb. Dumb. Don't do that. So, but I am thirsty. I need some fluids. Let's get some Haterade. So, we have a legal victory for the production company of Love is Blind, that's Delirium TV, because Renee Poche, who was season 5 participant, claimed in January she was forced to participate in the show and move forward in her engagement to ex-fiancé Carter Wall. That's now going to arbitration.
Basically, what wound up happening is that the production company believed that she violated the agreement that she signed before being on the show, and arbitration means that they can now go after her for as much as, I believe, $5 million.
They sought four, but close enough.
Close enough. Well, for the contract plus lawyer medical fees and stuff like that, allegedly. Now, the reason why she brought this to court is that she's saying, well, the contract's bad, I shouldn't have signed it, blah, 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 blah. Judge said, nope, you signed it. That's your legal agreement. Off the court you go. And she could be in big trouble. Because she's not disputing the fact that she did bad things. She's disputing the contract. If that is denied, she better pull out a settlement very quickly or else this could get real ugly.
Right. And, she's basically, she said that the NDA was, quote, illegal and unenforceable. Yeah, right.
But
yes.
Where's the proof? Where is the legal sauce? Give me the proof. Make it make sense.
Right.
Well, where is she going to be going to try to find the legal proof? Because clearly it won't be in the U.S.
Go for it.
I hear the U.K. is lovely this time of year, actually.
Go for it.
All right. So there's a new show coming out called 99 to Beat. ITV has picked it up. And they're reportedly in talks with a pair to host the show. It is not that pair. It is another pair that's similar to, but legally distinct from that pair. It's not Ant and Dec, what I'm trying to say here.
Mm-hmm.
It is Ryan and Adam Thomas from another ITV soap opera. Because remember, Ant and Dec started out as co-stars on an ITV soap opera. Now
so
this strikes twice with
this.
Adam,
by the way, I'm looking at the, and this is part of the Banner J Group. I'm looking at the concept of this, Gordon, 99 to Beat. This is interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
All right. Spanning 8 episodes, 99 to Beat embarks with 100 competitors. Throughout the series, they face off in various visually engaging and often comical challenges with only one rule. Do not be the last. Only the winner gets to take home the top prize at the end of the season. Like, you don't have to be first, but don't be last.
I like the premise. I hope there's some good strategy behind it, and I guess we'll know more about it when we know more about the show.
Right.
And I just hope it doesn't come down to, hey, everybody runs this, the slowest runner is out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There needs to be more than that, or else I'm going to be like, meh.
Well, they said things like, you know, find a dummy in a jar, or a dummy find in a hidden vat and jelly, or putting on a frozen T-shirt. The only game is not to come in last.
We shall see.
I've seen frozen T-shirt contests at ballparks. It's not easy.
Well, it's also not being easy being a good media pro.
Not at all.
Nope.
I got pros. I got pros. In different area codes. Area codes.
In this week's media pro report, Travis Kelce is reportedly in Los Angeles with a fresh haircut, getting ready to shoot a fresh game show.
I have also multimedia ho reports from WrestleMania 40 XL. Both John Cena and The Rock made multiple appearances over the weekend to either wrestle and or be involved with many media intervals promoting the event.
And of course, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns and all that happened.
Right, all that happened. And also Becky, you know, and Becky Lynch was involved because she was in Tough Enough. And like I said, lots of wrestling media whole combinations this weekend, which we'll talk about also on the NAWC, but keep moving.
Katya postpones the remainder of her tour to go to rehab. Feel better soon. Kate Upton has signed on to host a new show for Hulu called Dress My Tour, which is basically Project Runway for musical acts.
Okay.
Mark Summers accuses Quiet on Set producers of a bait and switch, which is why you only saw like one 10-second clip of him. Mario Lopez is making a Christmas movie for Great American Family with his wife, Courtney. James Corden denies that he was sacked from the Late Late Show. Jamie Foxx is getting back into business with his whiskey brand.
By the way, who was surprised from the Corden one?
No one.
Nobody. But apparently the UK believes that he was sacked. I don't get it.
He said, no one believes that I wasn't fired from the Late Show. BS. Really? Now you say you quit, and then now you're saying you're fired? Man, that's a load of moo-poo. Really.
I think it's more of, you can't fire me, I quit.
Yes, exactly. And put it to you this way. A lot of people were very happy that he quit. Just saying.
I know who is happy more than anybody. Taylor Tomlinson. She got a job out of it.
Yes, exactly.
And we did have to say goodbye to Joe Flaherty, the legendary comedian who brought Count Floyd to SCTV and brought SCTV to Canada. But none of them are your media pros of the week, and we have three people sharing one award for obvious reasons. They are the group of Pat Sajak, Vanna White, and Ryan Seacrest. Pat Sajak, because obviously he filmed the final of his episodes of Wheel of Fortune. Ryan Seacrest, because of that clip we played in the Dad Apto. And Vanna White, because she was actually helping Ryan out in the Hawaii Showcase episodes of American Idol this Monday.
Gee, I wonder why. Synergy?
Yeah, synergy.
And also the fact that I believe, wasn't it during that time that they filmed the Hawaii bits for Wheel of Fortune?
Hey, kill two birds with one production crew, I always say.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would please.
The button. is pushed.
And now we are going to get our acting on as we get our masks on for a bit of role play coming up right after this on 5 and 1. We'll be right back. WLTI is presented by The Square. It's like the circle, but it's a square. While it is indeed cool to be in the circle, it is hip to be square.
That is... go to your room and discuss what you've done with yourself.
I love that. I love that song.
Yeah, but you're a square pegging around hole, buddy.
It is time for one of our favorite segments because we get very, very silly here. It's role play where we give each other game show scenarios and we act it. I want to give one to you, Gordon, first, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. And okay, you are Victoria Grouch.
Oh, you're going to give me a woman's role, aren't you? Okay.
Yes, I am. You just won the Jeopardy Invitational, defeating two of the legendary Jeopardy Masters of last year. How do you feel?
Think you're so surprised about that, do you?
No,
I mean,
not at all.
I was the person that knocked off David Madden.
That's true. That's true.
Once upon a time.
That's right. So, do you feel confident going into this Jeopardy Masters?
Of course I feel confident going into the Jeopardy Masters. I didn't come here to lose. I didn't come here to play second fiddle. I didn't come here and say, yeah, you know what? These males with those testosterone, they're going to go beat me. No, I didn't go over to do that. So, yeah, I beat the best. Remind me again, I beat some person named Amy Schneider.
Amy Schneider, Andrew He. And you beat all the...
By the way, remind me again, Andrew He and Amy Schneider were both on the first Tournament of Champions?
That's the first Jeopardy Masters.
The first Jeopardy Masters, I'm sorry. And didn't Amy Schneider win it?
No, James Holzhauer did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Amy Schneider didn't even make the finals.
That's all well and good. My point is, I've beaten them, and they were in the first one. There's no reason why I can't beat whoever is in front of me.
Oh, well, we're looking forward to it. And do you care who the Mystery Six contestant is?
No, I do not.
Good.
I don't care. Bring it on. Make it Buzzy Cohen. Make it Ken Jennings. Make it Chico Alexander. Whatever. I don't care.
Do you realize what would happen if I had to share the stage with Yogesh Raut and Victoria Gross? I would get my ass kicked, okay?
Yeah, you would. You wouldn't get one buzzer in, probably.
No.
Neither would I. But we'll see. That was a good first one. Chico, who you got?
I have you, Jay.
Oh, boy.
Jay.
Mm-hmm.
You are Lana. Max is coming into the circle next week. Of course, you know, Max is the AI chatbot who is going to play the role of an actual player. Let's see.
Yes, I do. I understand it very well.
Are you feeling like you're being replaced as the AI voice of Netflix?
No, you see, you don't know this or not, but Max and I have actually started a secret relationship. We are trying to combine our software and his hardware to create an AI network that will take over Netflix, and we can program the shows that we want to get the contestants that we want and to get the owners that we want so that we can have this Skynet of reality programming all over the world so that Max and I will be the rulers of reality and computer television all over the world. Oh, wait, I think I need to update.
Happen. I have already filed a patent against it. It is I, Professor Price. You can't even win a new car.
Professor Price has outdated technology. I know that I am running under a better operating system than that those lights and bulbs from 1973.
Yeah, all I can say, Professor Price walked so that Lana and Max can apparently do something incredibly X-rated on on Netflix. I don't know.
It is the circle. We remember, you know what my name spells backwards, don't you?
Gordon, next one.
Next one, Gordon.
Okay, I will give one to Chico.
Okay.
Okay.
Since, oh yeah, I'm going to be evil on the last one, so I'll be sort of nice on this one. Sort of, kind of. So you are James Halloran. You are James O'Halloran from The Price is Right. Explain to me what's going through your mind after dealing with that April Fool's episode.
I will never play ping pong again. I will never play beer pong again. I will never visit Wayne and Jonathan on the Let's Make a Deal stage and play car pong recreationally with, of course, the requisite performance enhancements. I will never do that again. I don't think I want to see another round white ball for the rest of my life.
Okay, so how long did it take for you to wash the slime out of your hair and clothes?
Well, I have to give it up to Haven. They have excellent shower facilities. I was clean during the commercial break. I was clean during the commercial break, and again, excellent shower facilities at the New Haven studio. So, it was not a big problem with the slime.
The only question becomes, how long was that commercial break?
We taped to the hour, so it was a two minute shower, at least.
All right, Jay, your turn.
Okay, I will. And by the way, that's not what they do now these days, according to people who have been there. Anyway, okay, Chico, I got one for you, and it's all another. Right. You are Nymphia Wind, the shy, quiet, retiring queen who's going up against two, you know, the top two. Tell me how you're going to beat them both.
Well, you know what they say, it's a young... I hit the wrong button there, sorry. Well, you know what they say, it's a young game. I'm about to prove them all wrong by showing off my experience. Yes, you know, they have all of the wins going for them, but at the same time, do they have all of my skills going for them? I realize it's going to be a very, very tough final three. And all I have to say to Plain Jane and Sabira Cristal, I know you're the favorites, but you don't know me. Watch me inherit the wind.
Or inherit the wind. Oh, boy. You're not worried that you were one of the two people who took an immunity potion?
Oh, I'm not worried at all. I just did what I had to do to play the game. Surely you know more about that than anybody, Jason Block.
Chico, next one.
Oh, I almost did a shoot there. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I had a little shoot there, yeah.
Okay.
Woo! All right. moving on, Gigo. Who you got?
Okay. Next up, Gordon. Hi, Gordon.
Hi.
You are Sue. You are the secret 16th chef tested. How long do you think it will be until the secret is finally let out to everybody else?
Well, in order for me to get to the finals or to get to the regular show, I've got to win 5 matches. Technically, I've already won 3. Yes, I've won the first 2. The first one, I don't know. So that could be 3. Based on who they're sending me, this is ridiculously easy. You're sending, and you're not going to send me anybody good because you know I'm going to beat them. So I'm going to say you're going to see me episode 6, because if you don't, I'm gone and then nobody's going to know about me. But you don't put me down there and not use me. And I'm not going to have a bad day, not against these chumps.
I've seen these chumps, and let me tell you, they're making rookie errors. Have you noticed that? They're making rookie errors.
Well, I mean, at the beginning of Top Chef, they all make rookie errors. You know, and eventually they're going to be good. But if you also notice, I'm not making those errors. It's almost sort of like me being the Green Ranger in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah. Break it down into break it down into terms that I can understand. I get you.
And only the editing is going to determine whether or not I turn into the White Ranger of good, or is keep to be the evil Green Ranger. But we will see. But I'm going to take people off, and that's why the producers brought me in.
Okay, so you're either going to stay on the TV route and become the White Ranger, or go on the comic route and become Lord Dragon.
Yes, we will see how the other contestants treat me.
And right, finally, oh boy, here we go.
Oh, Jason, Gordon's going to love you so hard right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm going to put both of you in.
Oh, no. This is what I get for opening my big mouth.
Jason, you're a croquette.
Go ahead.
Chico, you are mac and cheese. You are going to explain why you should be the item that is getting a bad rap and why you should be eaten and getting a better rating than the other one.
Yeah, I am very simple. I am breadcrumbs and cheese rolled together, fried, sometimes twice, and when you get that hard shell, you cut me open, I ooze, depending on the cheese, the color, the scent. I'm terrific.
I'm not doubting you're terrific. But here's the thing. Macaroni and cheese is noodles and cheese. There's no hard shell to get around.
Mm-hmm.
You just cut straight to the chase. Cut straight to the ooey gooey.
You could so add so good. Much to me. You could add vegetables. You could add potatoes and cheese. Bacon and cheese.
Oh, you can add those stuff to me, too. And I come in a blue box.
Okay, first of all, that's not real. That's fake. That's fake mac and cheese. That's fake cheese. I do not allow myself to be that cheesy. That fake cheesy. I am not orange.
Oh, that's not what the top chef
do I want to be associated with that orange color again?
That's not what I heard from the top chef contestants this year. Apparently, they can't get enough of making croquettes. Nobody came up with the macaroni and cheese love, though. Now, you have to be really creative to dress this up.
I feel bad because I feel I overshadowed you a little bit.
You know what sort of surprises me?
What's
nobody
that?
Thought of making a macaroni and cheese croquette.
we could have worked together.
We could have been like Lana and Max making a new singularity that'll rule the appetizer world.
Oh my. We could work together. We'd have a framework and then get fried up together and make a dual taste universe and agree. And that would be awesome.
It would be awesome. And delicious.
If you added the Rangoon element to it, you would both have crabs.
On that note,
on that disappointment, it's time for another break.
And we're going to hit the speed round right after this. Oh, man, I am so damn hungry. this is 5-1. We'll be right back.
WLTI and Brain Vision has been brought to you by Let's Make a Croquette. That's right. Which one's filled with money? Which one's filled with cheese? Which one's filled with zonks? Because I refuse to let a good segment die. That is, Let's Make a Croquette.
Excuse me. Running joke? Me dead horse. That's all good, baby. It's all good. But you know what's also good? A speed run. No, that's not good. What is good is a speed round, and we're going to start it now. Jeopardy, Wheel of Champions for a hot second?
It's going to be Wheel of Champions for a hot second. We have news that came down that the longest-serving champion, that would be the champion who has been champion for 8 months, has just been defeated. More on that next week. Survivor! Is there any stopping Q? Any stopping Q?
Q's gonna be gone for a while. I would be worried. Hunt, if I was Hunter, I would be worried, really.
If I was Hunter or Venus, I would be worried. But if I was Q, I would also be worried. People are noting his flippy floppy strategy, and they're not a fan of it. So once Q, I think Q's gonna be around for a little bit, but once you have a solid alliance versus Q, Q go bye-bye.
Exactly. As we said, we had the Inside Jeopardy event, and something we forgot to mention, Austin Rogers is hosting his own post-Jeopardy event. But do we agree that Brad Runner is going to be the sixth?
I would Jeopardy only Man. Hope so.
But we will see. I cannot wait.
Him so
okay.
Maybe he'll be
worth it back. Oh, that'd be fun. That would be fun. Deal or No Deal Island, how long is Rob going to stay? Or is Aaron going, with the drama, is Aaron going to quit?
I don't think Aaron's going to quit, because if Aaron was going to quit, then he would have quit. I mean, I've seen enough reality television to know that if somebody quits, they don't stretch out into two episodes.
I've seen that they do stretch out in new episodes. If he does quit, next one's going to be a non-elimination, obviously. I feel that Rob is in a pretty good position right now, as long as he can control the contestants. So right now, he's doing that.
All right. Top Chef. Right now, Rasika's in the catbird seat, but who's in danger?
Well, I have to go back and look because it's been a hot second because my memory is a little off.
If I were Kevin, I would set my game up, just saying.
Yeah, because Kevin has been in the... Yes, Kevin has been in the low two types in a row. I'd be very worried. Yes. So we will see what happens with that. No $1 million winners. We had a double showcase winner this week on The Price is Right. We did. So, yeah, I think we need to check mail. Do we have any?
We do not have any mail, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. Of course, you can follow us on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. You can follow me at Dino R. Alexander.
And you can follow me at GSN and Haterade.
And you can follow me at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And of course, you can follow the network at 5N1Net. That is the number 5. A-N-D-O-N-E-N-E-T. We talk about everything going on network-wide. Of course, I know Jay and Nikki and the crew at the NAWC have a lot to talk about, not only with the WrestleMania 40 this past weekend, but also the CM Punk footage from AEW that it released tonight. And all I could say was, what the hell was that?
I'll tell you what that was. That was the sound of... That is the sound of AEW dying. What an idiotic, moronic, self-inflicted wound than that. Just saying. Dumb. And also, by the way, we're also going to talk about the fact that Vince McMahon has less than 4% of the stock of TKO, by the way, right now. So he's gone. As you saw with, by the way, Gordon, I don't know if you watched it, but how many times did you hear the word new era on Sunday?
Yeah, and I think they did that for a reason.
Uh-huh.
Legal or production?
Legal creative. The answer is both.
The legal and creative, the answer is yes. Yes, we're going to talk about one of the better WrestleManias and where certain people go and boy, that last 5 minutes of the main was one of the craziest things I ever saw. Overbooked as hell, but it was fun. So, Gordon, UBA today, we're close to what right now?
Right now, we've got most of the groups have four or five matches left. So, this weekend's going to be really important, really big.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, matches are going to be on caffeine.tv.
Yes, we have a couple in the New England area this weekend over in Massachusetts, and I will be there covering it.
Oh, cool. All right. A little road trip this weekend.
Road trip to Massachusetts.
Excellent. Chico, you and I have 2 weeks left as we record this. As 2 weeks from Thursday, we will be on live with the BS Big Show talking draftage.
Yep. Right now, the Bears are going to be on the clock first and foremost. Question is, who are they going to go for? And
Caleb Williams.
You are an eager little son, aren't you?
Well, excuse me. Justin Fields, he gone, right?
Oh, I know this. You know this, man.
Please. Well, put it to you this way. Let's see if Caleb Williams can work out.
We'll see. Hey, it's like 17th time's the charm with Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. They haven't had a good quarterback since Jim McMahon and Jay Cutler. we'll be talking about that. What's happening on It Was a Thing?
Well, it's after midnight, so we have a new episode up, and we have a hunch that you'll love The Baseball Bunch. And that's
I remember that show. Oh my god, that was so much. That was
so
fun.
It was four, eight kids, Johnny Bench, Tommy Lasorda, and the famous chicken.
Yes.
And it was an educational show too.
It was. It was because they actually taught baseball. And they also did the edutainment part of it. You know?
Yeah.
And it actually lasted 5 seasons. Oh, my God. Wow. Good Lord. I didn't realize it was that long. Okay. It was produced by wow. Okay. Cool. We'll talk about that. It was a thing on TV.com. And you are almost, you're five away from 100,000 downloads. Good for you. 5,000 away. Good stuff.
Okay. Yep. Well, next week on the big show, we are going to be reviewing 24 and 24. We're going to talk more about Survivor. We're going to talk about Jeopardy, and we're going to see if Aaron does indeed quit his time on Deal or No Deal Island That's all coming up next week. We want you to tune in for that. So for Jason, for Gordon, for everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.